Boom.
The recording has started.
Okay. Shalom
Hello?
Aleichem. Yeah, Shalom Aleichem.
Aleichem Shalom.
Aleichem Shalom.
Good. Okay. Let's go. We have three participants, she says. I guess it's Bruce, number one.
No, Jake was number one. Caleb was two, and I was three.
Okay. Jake was number one. Caleb was number two. And three was Bruce. All right. Very good. One, two, three. All right. Now it's 10 after.
50 downloads, sir.
Who?
50 downloads of the Birkas Kohanim one.
What's that?
50 people have played as Birkas Kohanim back.
Who's this, Jake?
Yeah.
What did you say about Birkas Kohanim?
50 people have already played it back.
Mayor Pearl.
Oh, Mayor Pearl. Mayor Pearl from Miami. All right. What did you say, Jake? What did they say about Birkas Kohanim?
There's been a bunch of playback, 50 of them.
I mean, they like the one on the Birkas Kohanim.
Yep, and people ask for more.
Oh, yeah. You see, people, Jake is my promoter now. He's promoting this, not only this, well, I guess only the conference call so far. He has thousands of people who might listen, and they can buy my safer, too. That would be a good thing.
Well, also, Rabbi Schwab.
Yeah?
This is Caleb. I also, he sent me a whole bunch of your lectures. Like, I got a lot of your lecture on my computer now. So that was pretty cool.
On the conference call or the Torah Anytime videos? Which one?
No. No, from where, Jake? Where are they from?
Coalition.
Coalition.
Oh, Coalition.
Yeah,
I stopped
like
that a couple years ago.
2006.
That was audios.
Yeah.
That had 3,800.
Yeah.
And I.
Yeah, I have all
year.
Of them.
I don't know how many people listened to it, but the last time I was on about half a year ago, I tested it. Anyone that answers this question, I gave him some dumb question, like who's Avram's father, gets a gold necklace. Nobody answered. So I figured nowadays they go for video.
Okay.
Video, which is the Torah Anytime, I got 870. And Coalition was started 10 years ago. It's just audio. I don't know how many listen, but.
Joseph.
All right, now this is five. Yosef, Yeshua, Figaro. Okay, we got so far Jake, Caleb, Bruce, Mayor Pearl, and Figaro. That's it? Any more?
Bill Kreisel.
Oh, Bill Kreisel.
Gil.
Gil, I mean, yeah, you're right. No,
yeah,
I should know that. Gil Kreisel. I from.
So can I ask an unrelated question? But
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so if a pet dies.
Yeah.
Is there a proper way that it should be, taken care of?
No, no way at all. You can do whatever you want.
So it can be cremated, it can be buried, it can be...
Why would you cremate it?
I don't know, because I guess that's what that's what the veterinarian does.
That's what the veterinarian's a guy. You're a yid.
I know.
But he does means nothing in your life. You don't.
I know,
kill,
but my son's English bulldog died.
Yeah.
And, you know, he took him to the vet, and the vet said, oh, we'll cremate him.
How do you know he's going to do it?
I don't know.
So why do you believe anybody? The thing is like this. We don't cremate anybody or anything. If it dies, the veterinarian takes care of it.
Okay.
It has no neshama. It's an animal. It's very. I had an animal, a dog for 12, 13, 14 years. I gave it a shot every day after the last 5 years because he had that he was a diabetic. I gave him a shot all the time. And then one day he died. He lived a very long time. Beautiful. He used to sleep in our beds. Yeah, he jumped up on our pillow. And when we were young, we put our heads on his. We used him as a pillow. Believe it or not, such a beloved dog. What kind of dog? Black and white. What's the name of that dog? Beautiful dog. And, when the doctor said they died, okay, they took care of it. You don't have to bury it. There's no such thing. It doesn't have a neshama. I know that the insane people today have cemeteries for the dogs, and they put signs up and headstones because the people have become unhuman. If you're a human being, you treat every animal, even living with the greatest, you never torture an animal. You don't hunt if you're a decent Gentile, certainly not a Jew. How can you hunt an animal? You want it for food because you need food? It's different. Just to hunt for pleasure and hang the head on the wall, that's for low people who torture animals.
You can't do that, philosophically.
Huh? You can't torture animals. You're not allowed to, when you walk down the street, you can't pull a leaf off of a tree for no reason. You can't step on an ant for no reason. If it's in your way, Dean, it's in your house, you get rid of it. We don't torture any animals. Who's this, Dean Ruckel?
Yeah.
From Chicago. She's out there in Chicago now taking care of her mother. Isn't that a fantastic, what a wonderful child that is. All right.
Where are you in Chicago, Dina?
Oh, an hour, like an hour south. Sherwood.
You want to know what city?
Oh, okay, fine.
Sherwood.
What city?
South of Naperville. South of Naperville.
Oh, okay, fine. You're far.
Oh, the west side. Okay.
Because Jake is from Chicago.
West Rogers Park.
Rogers Park. Yeah, I know. West Rogers Park. Like 9th Street or 12th Street or something. I used to be there. I used to have
You know Rabbi
there.
Small?
Small? No, I used to stay with Rabbi. There's three rabbis who ran the yeshiva there. The Tells Yeshiva of Chicago. And about 20 years ago, when I used to travel, Rabbi, what's his name? Levine. And one of them was Nifter Schmelzer. And, all right, anyhow.
And I was the director of the Northwest Suburban Jewish Community Center.
Who was? Who?
Bruce.
Bruce, you were?
Yep.
Really? In Chicago?
Buffalo Grove, yeah.
In Buffalo Grove. Oh, you're a Chicago guy.
Okay, good.
All right, now look, we got Jay, Kayla, Bruce, Pearl, Figaro, Kreisel, and Dina Rojo. All right, now let's start. Like I told Dina, let's look at the Haftorah of last week. You see the most extreme two personalities. One, a Gentile who went to heaven, Gan Eden, married the greatest Jew in the world, and other so-called Jewish people, heads of the Jewish people, the rottenness of the rotten, they went to Gehenna forever. Let's take a look at the Haftorah of last week. We had the parsha last week, talked about the 12 Meraglim spies. They're never called spies because they went not, openly. But in Haftorah, they were hiding at night, so they're called Meraglim. That's why the word Meraglim doesn't exist last week's parsha, which we read yesterday. It's about 75 Pesukim, and there's never the word Meraglim. It's called Meraglim by Rashi in the Gemara, but it's not in the Chumash, because they didn't really go as spies. They were spies, but they looked like everybody else. So now Yeshua, after Moshe died.
What are you holding? What chapter?
Who's that?
What chapter?
The Haftorah.
Mordechai Kaufman.
Joshua chapter 2, verse 1.
Mordechai Kaufman.
Thank you.
After the Sedra, you see the Haftorah. Every Chumash in the world has Haftorahs. Chapter, it's Yeshua, chapter 2, Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk 24. So it says Moshe died, and then Moshe died on this Zion Adar, seventh day of Adar. Now that was the last Jewish
month. That was when he was born.
That was born on the same day, because Tzaddikim live a full life. Therefore, their days are full also. They're usually on the same hour, the same minute. Only God knows that, or the parents, but it was the same day everybody knows. Zion Adar. Now, Adar, if you start from Nisan, is the last month. Then the next month is Nisan, number one. So he died Zion. That means seventh day. The month is about 30. 23 days, 3 weeks before Nisan. So the Jews went into the country, and Shloshim. They mourned for Moshe 30 days. So Zion Adar till Zion Nisan, and then from Zion you have only 3 or 4 days to get to Pesach. So as soon as Moshe, it was buried in Zion Adar, but a month later the people got up from their Shloshim, and now it's Zion Nisan, and Pesach is going to be on the 15th, so it's about a week. So Yeshua now says, we're going to Eretz Yisrael after all these 40 years. And they left on the 10th, 3 days preparation from the desert to get there. If they cross over the Jordan, half an hour later, they were in Israel. So that was the 10th. 4 days to go to bring the Korban Pesach. No Jew made a Korban Pesach for 40 years. Why? Because before they came out of Mitzrayim, the last night, they had a Korban Pesach. And then they made the first one in the desert. And after the first one, we have the story of the Meraglim. And the Meraglim did not the Meraglim, Egel. And since the agal was a terrible, terrible thing, Moshe had to smash the luchos. So Hashem didn't kill the Jews because God and Moshe prayed for them. But something remained over from the agal. Hashem took out of the air what the Chachamim called the north wind. Something in the air, in the wind, as a north wind, if that doesn't blow, no wound will heal. It won't come together. It won't coagulate. The blood won't coagulate. The wound won't heal. So you can't do bris because the kid will die from hemorrhage. So they had no brisin. If you don't have a bris, you're forbidden to eat the carbon pesach. You can be, let's say you have a brother who died from the bris because he had hemophilia. You know what that is. The blood doesn't coagulate. And then he died. Then you have another brother who died from hemophilia. The third brother, you're not allowed to give him a bris. That third brother could be the biggest tzaddik, Rosh Hashiva, but if he's a kohen, he can't serve in a mitzvah mikdash. He can never eat any korbanos, certainly not korban pesach, because he is a baal mum. His body has a defect. If a Jew doesn't have a bris, it's a defect. And he's not allowed to have a bris because his two brothers died of hemophilia. Maybe nowadays they could cure it with certain drugs, could be. But so after the Egel, and Hashem took away the Ruach Tzafon, is the north wind. The north wind, I don't know exactly how it works, but the blood won't coagulate. Like the royal family of England, they have that thing, the hemophiliacs. Hemo is blood. They won't the blood coagulate. So they can't have a bris. The kid will die. So if you have a bris, you can't eat carbon pesach. So for 40 years, they didn't eat carbon pesach. That means the tribe of Levi did have carbon pesach because they did have a bris. So they didn't because they never got involved in the egel. And the women, of course, and then everyone over 8 days old who had a bris before the first carbon pesach, there, of course, they had a bris. So for 40 years, they didn't make it. So they made one in Egypt, one in the desert, and for the next 39 years, no more. Now Yeshua is taking them in 40 years later. Moshe died on this Zion Ador. Zion Nisan, 30 days later, they got up from Shiva. You know, Shiva is 7 days, but it's a semi-availus for 30 days for your father and your mother. And for any sister, brother, wife, you can't listen to music, you can't shave, you can't take a haircut, you can't go out on a party, you can't have any social thing, can't hear live music. Because you're half-oval. So after 30 days, it's over. And for a father and mother, it takes 12 months. For anybody else, it's 30 days. Everybody has to shit 7, but that's when you can't leave the house. But for 30 days, you can't have any parties, you can't go to a wedding or to a, let's say your child is having a wedding. So in the Shiva, that's impossible. But after the Shiva, they allow you go to the wedding and leave immediately before they start the music. And after the 30 days, they're more lenient. But if all things being normal, you cannot take a haircut. You can't say Shalom Aleichem to anybody. He can't say Shalom Aleichem to you for your father and mother for it takes a year. And the Kriya is only 7 days where you tear your left side of your shirt for your father and mother, right side for everybody else. And so that takes care of that. So now Yeshua was bringing them in. And they're going to have the carbon pesach. And now he's going to state, he said to them, look at the Haftarah. Yishlach Yeshua bin Nun. Well, everybody's called Ben. He's called Bin because Bin comes from Bino. Yes, you need a lot of understanding to be the leader of the Jewish people. Look how much trouble they made for Moshe Rabbeinu. Tough guys, opinionated fellows, strong opinions, and Jews, it goes down to this very day today. You go to Israel or to a very Jewish neighborhood, and two guys having a debate, and the third one gets involved, and he has a debate, and they're all fighting, and everyone says, no, you're wrong. This is how it is. Jews are very independent souls. Therefore, if you take a very intelligent Jew in your business, into 3 years he'll quit and make his own business, probably be your competitor, because that's why all these stores started in America. Macy's by Mr. They were Jews, and Gimbals, they took Goyish names, all Jews, because they're entrepreneurs. Why should they follow someone else or make their own business? They're very enterprising, tremendous. That's why Israel has more inventions in the scientific field than any country on earth, because we're extremely independent-thinking people. When we have arguments, and because we're very opinionated, and we're called Uz Sheba'umos, the stubbornest of all nations, for Hashem or even against Hashem. You know, people that are so, they won't listen to you. And, of course, that's good and bad. You have a lot of machlokas fighting, but it creates individuality, uniqueness, creativity. And if you think out of the box, you become a famous person because you can do it better. Anything, whatever you do, you can do it better. That's how you think, and that makes competition. There's nothing wrong with that. So now, so bin means bino. Okay, Yeshua bin Nun, min ashitim, a place. Shnayim anoshim, two men. Meraglim, here's the first time he was not, because they're sneaking around. You'll see in a minute. Cheresh, quietly. Lemor, lechu, go. Ru'us, or take a look at this land. There's Yericho, and Yericho is the first city over on the other side of when you cross the yard in the first one. Yericho. Yelchu, and they went, Bayova, they came, face Ishel Zonum, to the house of a famous Zono, prostitute. Now, she knows all the men. You understand? You can get from her all the information, because that's where these big politicians, the rich people, she only catered to the riches, because she was very expensive, to the governors and the mayors and the biggest businessmen. That's where you find out all the gossip. And Zona means to feed. Most prostitutes have restaurants. They feed you food and other things. Ishel Zona, that's the cover of the restaurant. Ishel Zona, Ushmo Rochav, her name was Rochav. That name is already very suggestive. And says in the Gemara, she was a Zona from age 10 to 50. The 40 years that Jews were in the desert. Most famous Zona in the whole Middle East. The most gorgeous thing and all the greatest men she had as customers. They laid down in the house there with her. Of course, they're decent people. And she put them in the house. She knew that they were not customers. But Yomer Lamelech Yericho, it was told to the king of Yericho. Lame was saying, Hine Anoshim Bo Halal. You know, people, two guys came tonight. Who told the king? But Yomer Lamelech Yericho was told to the king of Yericho. Lamor. Hine Anoshim. Well, every night men came to this woman. Yeah, so must have been these and other men. But Yomer Lamelech Yericho Lamor. Hine Anoshim. Different kind of men. Bo came. To hear Halilo, Bibnei Israel, they detected they may be speaking Hebrew or something from the Jews, the coppers, to search out the land. How do they know that? Well, they saw them sneaking around. Obviously, you're trying to look for something. Yishlach Melech Yericho, so the king of Yericho, every city had their king. Yishlach Melech Yericho El Rochav, Lamor, Hoseisi, take them out. Didn't ask if they are. Take them out. Hotzi Hanoshim Haboy Malaylecha. Produce those men that came to you. Haboy that came to you. Ashaboy Lebeso came to your house. What's the difference? Hanoshim Haboy Malaylecha to you. They want to obviously use your services. Obviously, these are the biggest tzaddikim. They had no such intention. They came to your house. Not only spoke to you in the street, they came to your house. Her house, because her house was built in the wall. The wall was like 15, 20 feet thick. So she lived in the wall. Many people lived in the wall. Probably fairly high real estate because it had windows outwards and back, you know, in front of the wall and behind the wall. To search out the land, they came. A woman took the two men, but Titzvano, she hid him. Oh, two? And she only hid one? One was Pinchas. From him comes Eliyahu Hanavi. And therefore, he automatically can make himself invisible. She only had to hide one. His name was Kalev. You know, the one that went with, that was 40 years ago, who went with, for Moshe, Shlichus. But Titzvano, she hid him. But Tomer, can't true. Boy lied, it came to me. Wanoshim, the man. Below your daughter, my enemy. I don't know where you are now, sir. I don't know. The police came. The police sent these guys, the police. The king sent the police. I don't know where they are. If she was found lying, they would kill her on the spot. She put her life in danger to save two spies. The hikash shashar sagur, and the gate was about to close. Every night they closed the gate. The choshek, because it's getting dark. That means that sunset. Vanoshim yod sa'un, but she said the men left already. I don't know where they went. I don't know which direction. Juan Lushman the man. Rodfer quickly, she suggests, puts in their mind to get him out of her house. Rodfer, run after them. Meyer, quick. Maybe maybe before the gate closes, you can run after them. Akaram, you'll reach them. You'll reach them. You'll catch them. Of course, they left, and she brought them upstairs. She brought them up to the roof. She hid both of them. Before she only had a high one. And immediate danger, God does a miracle for you. Now these people are gone, and God doesn't do a miracle unless it's something extremely urgent. Now she hid them somewhere on this. And in Israel, where it never rains for 6 months, everybody in the Middle East has flat roofs where they can plant stuff. It doesn't rain. They don't need to plant a roof like us where it's flat and rains any day of the year. They had flat roofs. Yep, let's say if you live on the third, fourth, fifth floor, you could grow a garden up there. And she put them up on the roof. Go. They hit the name. She hit them both. But pish steak ate with flax. And she hit them in the stalks of flax. She was drying out her flax. Timana, pish steak ate the flax of the tree. What does that mean? And hit them in the stalks of the flax. Maybe bundles of flax. Haruba's log, which was arranged for her on the seal on the roof, she used the flax. I don't know what for. Vanoshim wrote for him, and the police ran after them. Derechayarden toward the Yarden, because they say they came from the Jewish people just across the river. The whole country knew that these Jews are coming sooner or later, and they knew there are millions. They're 40 years in the desert. They found out about them. He said, obviously they went back. They found out what they needed. They went back, and they went across the Yarden. And Yericho's right at the Yarden. Why don't you go through the fjords where the river is very small? Maybe you can, cross right there. They'll probably cross where the river is very tiny. Shar Sogoru, and the gate was now locked. Achre, after Kashir Tiotsu, Harodfim, after the pursuers went after them, she misled them. Of course, if she was found out, they'd kill her. So she did Mesiras Nefesh. And these people are going to spy out this land and take it over. And she understood that. Hamo Terem Yishkovan, they, before they laid down in her house, they never ran out anywhere. Hamo Terem, before they laid down, but he also, Aleim Agago, the guy, she went up to them to the roof. But Tomer Elana, she said to them, Yodati, I know. Ki Yitan Hashem Lechem, so God will give you this land. It's a known fact. Ki Noflo, Emos Sachmalem, your fear has fell upon us. Ki Noflo, Ema is fear, Aleinu, Mechinamogu, and we have been melted, all the inhabitants, because of you. We know that you're taking over this country. Because it's way back, they had it from Avram already, centuries and centuries and centuries before the Jews are coming. Somana, we heard, as Ashehovish, Hashem is made, Yamamsu, Hagat, dried up the Yamsu 40 years ago, Mibnechem, before you. You crossed, the Egyptians didn't. The states come in Israel when you left Egypt. Vashir, Asisim, what you did, Lishnei, Malach, Amori, the two Amorite kings on the east bank. Asher, Be'eva, Yarden, which is on the other side of Yarden. Sichon, we know that they killed Sichon, the giant. And his brother, Og, two huge giants. And they were paid by the Canaanites to protect the eastern border. No one could attack them from the east, from the Yarden. And the Jews killed these two guys. Obviously, Sichon and Og had many, many hundreds and thousands of soldiers. Asher, he chramped them of some. You desecrated them. You killed them, and took all their cities and everything. But you have did to the two Amorite kings, Jordan to Osir, when you utterly destroyed them. We heard this. For 40 years already, and our hearts have melted. Lokomo, and it didn't get up. Owed anymore. Ruach, a feeling of self confidence. For Ish and any man, and she could tell that because she, she what she was. She understood. They can't function. Ki Hashem, that's the best news among me. This woman tells the truth. Ki Hashem, Elokechem, God, your God, Hu Elim, He is the only God. But Shemai, Mal, Earth, Heaven above, Orz Metochas. Vatwa now. Hoshavali, swear to me. I saved you guys' life, Please, by Hashem in God's name. Don't just say I swear. You got to use God's name. I did with you a favor. You should do with me. In Basi, my family, Avi, my father. Basi, Avi, the house of my father means all my brothers and sisters and everything. Ches, you should do kindness and save your life. Hey, you owe me. Venasatam li os bahamava. Venasatam li os emes. Give me a sign. Of course, you're going to save my life. Vechiyisim is avi, imi, avi. You're going to save my father's life. Ves imi, my mother's life. Ves achai, my brothers. Ves achiosai, my sisters. Ves kol ashirlehem, and all their families that they have. Vitzaltim es nafshasenum. You will save our lives, me mothers, from utter death. Because the law was to kill every inhabitant of Canaan and do not take prisoners. Now, any one of you listening to me, do you think there's something missing with the list of people she mentioned? Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
So, what about that question? Nobody was following me. You're reading ahead. Well, then you missed it. That's why you can't even ask a simple question. Can't answer the simple question. I said it's the people there. Somebody's missing. If you want to read on your own, you don't need me. How come she left somebody out? The learning Torah is not reading Torah. Why did she leave somebody out? If you don't know who it was, then you're not. You're someplace else. You're not with me. Well, I can't tell you then if you're not listening. All right, so we'll skip that question. The Yomer Lo Anoshim, the men said to her, Nafshenu Tachtechem, our life is under you. Lamus, we will keep your promise. We give our life for your promise. Im Lo Tagidu, but one condition. You don't tell Estavarenu, this what we had this conversation, to any human being, except the family that you're going to bring in your apartment and say, Zeh, what we just said. And it will be the Seish Hashem Lonu and source. When God gives us the land, Yisinu Imoch, we'll do with you Ches and loving kindness and Emes. We'll keep our word. But Tori Dame by Hevel, she let him down on a string in the back window, you know. But Ad Chalon through the window. Keep it base of Bekira. House was in the wall. The big thick wall, like an apartment. Achoma, the wall of the in the Kier was in. Her house was in the wall of the fortification. That was the wall of the city. Bekir, Achoma, the wall. Ubechoma, she lived in that wall. Bertomelehem. Run to the mountains. Because the guards are way up ahead of you. They're looking for you. Pen, Yifku, Bechem, Harosim. Maybe your pursuers will catch you. Don't go anywhere. Just go to the mountains. Stay there. Menachbitim, hide yourself. Shaman Shalishi Yom in 3 days. At Shuvah Harosim until the pursuers come back. Then you can go on your way. They said to her, Anoshim, after we're down, Nikiyam, we're free. Anachnu, we don't have to keep our word. Ooh, listen to this. Nikiyam, we're free. Mishwa is what the promise has there. Asher Nishwa, that you made this promise. Hinei, what does that mean?
That's why we're free at Pesach.
What?
That is why we're free at Pesach.
What's Pesach? What does that have to do with it?
Pesach ties into this. We're freed from Egypt.
Yeah, so what do you want to say? Don't have to keep the promise we just made. What does that mean?
That's what I was asking.
What are these liars? The guys are liars? Let's listen.
I don't know.
Why don't you listen? It's going to come out. They say, after we're down on the ground, say, hey, Rachav, forget about the promise. Take a look. You want me to unnush him? Who is this?
Mrs. N.
Okay, Mrs. N, a loyal listener, number 11, Mrs. N. Now, look what this means here. Akhavi, tzaddikim don't lie, so you have to go further. We're free. Nakhim, Mishra said, from their oath, we swore to you. Hinei, Nakhim, Boim, Loris, that means we're free under one condition, though. You said you would, but if you don't keep your words, we're free. What is it? He nay behold, and at the point when we come to the land, as tikvas achud azov, this red string, a scarlet cord shall you bind in the window, as a tikvas chut, a thread, a shiny red, as that hikshiv tie in the window. There are many windows in that. How do they know where's our apartment? You have to give us the exact marker. That we came down from it. And your father, as your mother, your brothers, the ace called base avich, your whole family of your father to send or that advisor bring into that house. Any member of your family who leaves the door of your apartment or house, his blood is on him. We are not responsible. We are clean from this oath. If everybody is in that house, anyone is not there at the moment we come in, we're free. That's the condition. His blood is on his head, means it's his fault. But not in the king, we're innocent. We'll do exactly what we said on one condition, that everybody is there, no place else. Everybody with you, that blood is on our head. We will keep our word. No hand will touch him. Nobody will hurt him. So now that's why they called these kind of places where prostitutes live the red light district, because they had a red string. I guess that was the old custom years ago. They weren't ashamed of it. And they put a red string in the front door, and they knew that was the place. If you tell anybody about that conversation, we're free from the oath. You got to never tell anybody but your own family. And if they tell anybody, we're not bound by anything. Mishmos there. We then were clean of our oath. Asherho Shibaton that we made with you. Everybody has to be in that house. And don't tell anybody except those people. She probably tell them, listen, I have a way that you can save your life. And they probably didn't say that Jews are coming and they're going to go to that window. Once they're in the apartment, they say, yeah, we can be saved because I saved these guys. Because anyone knows that Yochav saved Jews, they'd be killed in a second. But Tomer, she said, like you said, Cain, who, that, how to be. But Tishal came, she sent them away, which means she wished them good luck. But Yael could have went, she tied the red string, but hello in the window. They went away, and they came up to the mountain. They dwelt there 3 days. At Shovah Rosh, until the pursuers came back, the Yavakshah wrote to me and said, "Men called there. They looked the whole way. The pursuers were low much so they didn't find them." And the two men came back. They came down from the mountain. They went through. He was waiting for them. He's the leader of the Jewish people. Moshe's the right hand man. Yeshua ben Nun. And he told them, it's called Hamotzios, or some all the things that happened to them. Rachav and the promise. Yomel Yeshua. Kinosna Hashem b'yonis kolot. God gave us this land. It's ours. Kam nomogu kol yoshi ha'arz. The people's heart are melted. They have no self-confidence. They know they're going to be, not only that we'll take over the land and they'll live there. Nobody will live there but Jews. And anyone who fights them will be executed. No, you're not going to have any prisoners. And they knew that God's people, they knew how the splitting of the sea. I mean, they know already it works. Now we're going to ask some questions. Let me ask you something. Does anybody know anything more about what I told you about Rachav HaZon? Anything about her? Her past, her future? Anybody have any ideas how this compares to the 10 spies that Moshe sent and it was a complete failure? And Yeshua sent 2, and it was complete success. Anybody have any questions about that? Why? And what is woman? This is a goy, a zona. She has such trust in God. And the Meraglim, who were the greatest Jews, eventually buckled and had no trust in God. And it says that the greatest Jew in the world, Yeshua, married her. He married no Jew. And Moshe Rabbeinu's right-hand man, Yeshua, couldn't marry. She converted. She became a Yisraelis. Yeshua, all the thousands and millions of Jewish girls, he married this Zona. She was a Zona from the age of 10 till 50, the 40 years in the desert. It says there was no rich man, businessman, politician who didn't sleep with her. And she, after all this type of life, sees God clearly. And the 10 of the 12 people that sent by Moshe made 6 million people wander 39 years in the desert. Says the Gemara, they have no future world. They're doomed forever. How could it be that Jews can't see, but a Goyish woman could see? And from her came many, many generations later, the greatest prophet, Yirmiyahu Hanovi, who predicted the temple destruction, and he wrote the Megillah Eichot, and from the Meraglim, the wiped out, no descendants. How could it be that you live a life of sin and you marry the Godol Hador? And from you comes many generations later, Yirmiyahu, the greatest, the holiest Navi, and the Meraglim, who were the heads of the Jews, and the wise men, the this and that. They says there in the Gemara Sanhedrin, they have no future world ever. They'll never get out of Gehenna. They cause millions of people to
So if Yirmiyahu is a Kohen.
Yeah, right.
So
how could she be a Kohen? Well, she married eventually somebody in her family. Yeshua's no Kohen. Somebody married a Kohen, and that's it. She married somebody in her family many, many generations later, married a Kohen. She's a Giyuris, a Jewish woman. And she could marry a Kohen, and then there was somebody down there was Yirmiyahu was a Kohen, so that's no problem. But can anyone give me an answer? How is it that Rachav Azono, who was met every single family's guy, slept with her? She married the Godel Hador and got Aiden with Yirmiyahu and Navi. And these Meraglim, who are Jews from birth all the way back to day one, they go to Gehenna forever. How is that possible? What is going on here? This should bother you terribly.
Well, if she did the tshuva, then that solves it, no?
Yeah, well, how come they didn't do tshuva, the Meraglim? How come she didn't? First of all, what did she do tshuva for? Being a prostitute is not forbidden for a Gentile.
What?
She didn't. No, no.
I thought that's one of the seven Noahide laws.
No, not to have it with your blood relatives. It's called what do you call it? You're not allowed to have with your mother, father, brother.
Feel right.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that. But strange.
Incest is what you're thinking.
Incest, right? Niuf. Zanus is lower than Neof means you have a relation with your blood relatives. That's terrible info going. All right, but listen, there's millions of people she has slept with. How come? And that's not forbidden for a goy. It doesn't say that a goy is holy. Jewish people says all the time. Kedoshim Tishim. We have more restrictions. But how could it be you go from one extreme, not only a nice goyish woman, but a prostitute, and she married the big Godel Hador. Nobody else in Yeshua couldn't find a Jewish girl. Of course, you did it because God said so. But how is that possible? You go from one extreme to the other extreme, and Tzadikim in the last 100 years have written booklets on this, pamphlets on it. I was in Yeshiva in Baltimore, was one of the greatest Torah scholars, wrote the 20-page pamphlet. One called, its title is called Rachav, and the next word is the Meraglim. How do you compare these two things? This is such a mind-blower for an uneducated Jew.
Yeah.
How? Why? What kind of Torah is this? Yeah.
Good question.
Oh, boy, is that a question. If that doesn't bother you, then you're either asleep or unconscious. So let me tell you. These 12 Meraglim, they were, it says in Rashi, if you're looking around, they were tzaddikim when they started their mission. And somewhere along the line, they saw, let's go a little deeper. There's two ways to believe in God. With blind faith, it means closed eyes. I trust God. I don't have to know how it's going to work, when it's going to be. I trust what my father told my grandfather. We've been religious for generations. I don't have to know how, when, what. I just do what, and I don't have to investigate what difficulties I'm going to have to make. I'll just do what Hashem says, and I'll leave it up to him. That's called blind faith. However, it's not the... 1 second. Yehuda?
Yeah.
Did you take out the two garbage cans? They're loaded. Okay. So now, and then there's another called Enos Bechikos. Your eyes are open. I want to know what I'm getting into. What will be if? How will I handle it? What will be? How do I get out of it? How do I handle it? I'm not blind faith. I want to know all the answers before I start. What's my second agenda if this don't work? Now, that is not for everybody. It's only for very, very few percentage to know everything, because the human mind, unless you're brilliant, can see the future how things are going to work out, it'll destroy you. You'll see, oh, I have to go through this and this and this and this. Ooh. Blind faith means I don't care what's going to be. I trust God, and he's going to, and I'm going to work, and it'll work out. But that's for the average person, which is 99%. Certain great Torah scholars want to know why, how come, how, when. To go with your eyes open is you can conquer that if you're very, very, very strong conviction without 1% flaw in your character. You can know the what's going to happen, but you're going to handle it because you don't know how, but you're going to trust God. Blind faith is wonderful. That's what we expect of every single person. Unique people like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe know everything that's going to happen, and they will trust God even though they know it. These people couldn't handle when they saw these huge giants, and they're telling you the truth. How are we ever going to defeat them? Which means you had a doubt in your mind, 1%. 99% you were a moment. 1% you were a doubter, and that cracked you. You have a diamond that has no flaw. You cannot crack it. If you find that one tiny black carbon spot, and you put the chisel on that, you can crack the diamond. One spot can crack it. If you have one bit of doubt in God's power, you're done. Like you wear a white tuxedo and just a little black pen mark on the lapel. Just a little. The whole thing's worthless. A black suit and a lip, so you cover it up.
But yeah, but Rabbi, for me, to me, I mean, if we go back to last week and the spies, they were all princes.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, when I look at it, it appears as though they were more into their status or their position than they were about their, you know, about really going out and giving a true...
Yeah, that's exactly what a Chazal come and say. They didn't want to lose their jobs. They're the 12 leaders of Israel. When they come into the country, if they come in, everybody's going to be distributed 100 miles apart. Everyone, every tribe had their section. And these people were finished. Or would they lose their job? They're so egotistical. They 6 million people, they keep wanting for 30 years because you don't want to lose your job. Politicians work like that. I know many Democrats who say, listen, I think they're a bunch of crooks and gangsters, but I have to, because I lose my position. But when I get in the booth, I don't vote Democratic. Okay, where is your, but don't, let's say 100 senators would get together and say, listen, this is wrong, anti-American, and rebel. They would crumble.
But yeah, my congressman is a Republican, says the same thing.
Yeah, because you don't have guts.
Yeah, his first job was to get elected. His second job is to get reelected.
And he was a Democrat?
He's a Republican.
I don't know. He's going to have a hard job because the Democrats seem to take over the country.
Kevin McCarthy, so he's a big Republican. He's the number one. He's the head of the House Majority Leader.
Oh, well, you see how many the people are so blind. They say, what's the name? No methane. All the cows should be killed. All the factories should be closed. They don't want no methane gas polluting there. I mean, insane people. And so, of course, they're going to lose terribly in 2020 because the average man who has a job and works for a living understands common sense. And they don't. Anyhow, listen, let's just go for that. But so these guys had a flaw. And that flaw started to increase. And two of the 12 noticed this, even while they were still in the country spying out. Therefore, when the 10 of the 12 carried these fruits, two of them didn't. I told you last week why. Yeshua, they had respect for him because his great-great-great-grandfather Yosef was the king of Egypt. And Mashiach comes. He'll be the first Mashiach. Then comes the Mashiach Yishol Yehuda. And the second one is Kol Ben Yefune. It comes from Yehuda. Yehuda is the top tribe of kings. They had respect for that. The second answer was these guys wouldn't have done it even if they forced them to carry the fruits because they realized these guys want their job and they're going to lie. And they're going to show them these unique fruits. And Bruce last time asked a fabulous question. I think it was Bruce. If it was just the season of the new buds of grapes, how do they have this huge thing, 800 pounds? Answer is Eshkol Echol. That was the one unique grape and that one fig, the one pomegranate. They wanted to show the people, look what these guys eat. Can you imagine how big they are? And it says in our Torah, if you want to be bad, God helps you. If you want to be good, he helps you. Nothing stands in front of your rutzon. If you want to be, he will find you ways that you could be evil. And you'll swear that you're doing the right thing. And if you want to be good, you'll find opportunities to be good. It's all up to you what you want out of life. So now, these guys, it says in the Gemara, went to Gehenna, never going to get out. Rachel Barzon, though, she was a guy. There's nothing wrong with this. She detected that God is the God of all gods, it says there, and you guys are taking over. And the Gadol Hador Yeshua married her. She had such a true vision of God, a true believer. She, and by the way, when I asked you that question before, who's left out in the family? Do you notice any one of you that she didn't have a husband?
Yeah.
Of course. Right. How can a prostitute have a husband? I mean, who would stay with her for more sec? 1 second. But she had something good about her. One good thing. It says there in the Talmud, two things that Rochav Hazono had. She catered to men who were a little bit ashamed to come in the front door. She had a back door or back window, and they crawled up. Because he catered to their sense of sneers, of decency. A little bit decent, a little bit more decent. And that little tiny thing grew in her until finally these two Jewish spies showed up. She says, God, you're your God, the God of the whole world. I know you're going to wipe out this country. Please save me and my family. That little bit, that little straw turned her into such a tzedekes, because Yeshua wouldn't have married her. She became a giyuris. That shows, my father writes in the Sefer, a person wants to be religious about tshuva. One little thing, spark, one little question starts a whole complete revolution in your life, and it leads you further and further and further until her grandson was Yirmiyahu. And these guys went to Gehenna forever because fundamentally they did not believe in Hashem. You can't believe in him 99%. It doesn't work like that. You have to have total trust. Now, so my father wrote, either with blind eyes, which is all we expect from 99% of people, even if you want to see these giants in their real power, which they saw, they say, we cannot defeat them. True! But God can defeat them. Didn't he split the Yamsu for you 40 years ago? Doesn't he have let mon fall every day? Doesn't he have a stream of water following you, mister? And doesn't he have... protects you against the sun with these clouds above you and below you and right and left in the desert 40 years? Don't you? What about that stuff? God, if you are not a mammon, you will not be, even the facts won't convince you. You can tell them all the facts in the world. They won't convince you. You don't care. They don't care because the mind is twisted, fundamentally evil. Yes, go ahead. Who's that?
There's another righteous Gentile. Her name is Mib Jeez.
Who's he?
She hired Anne Frank, Otto Frank, Margot Frank, and other people.
What did she do?
Mib Jeez. I have her
what did she do?
In an envelope. She
hired that's Frank, more current, though.
Mark
Joseph,
yes.
That's like in the 1930s, 40s.
Who's this talking?
Joseph Ambrose.
Joseph, oh. Now she's what? She's a Balas Shuva?
She was awarded righteous Gentile.
Oh, Gentile in Israel. Oh. Yeah, there are a lot of them. Of course, most people are not, but there's a lot of them who finally see the MS. Rachav Hazono, she eventually saw it, and the guys didn't. So something's wrong with your internal personality. It says in the Gemara Sanhedrin that these Gemaraglim, and it's not only them, they will never get out of Gehenna. They caused millions of people to wander for 30 years instead of 11 days, made them for 39 years. Say, it means that, you know, you don't have to be the biggest tzaddik, and you know, maybe you don't have to keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah, but you have to know if the Torah is emes and God is emes, and Mashiach will come, and all these things that are predicted will happen. And every prediction in the Torah that God told people eventually came true. He told Avram that after 500, 400 years, you're going to get out of Egypt. No, that's what happened. Hashem said thousands of years ago, Mashiach is going to come. So, I don't know, tomorrow, next week, next year, I don't have to. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. Because everything else came true. And if you study Tanakh, you'll see it. And you know what they discovered this week? That rock-eating worm. Did you hear about it?
Yep.
Do you know that in the time of the Mishkan and the time of Shlomo, hundreds of years later, the rocks that were cut out of the quarries were never, a hatchet was never used. Only the shomir, the worm that ate rock, was there. So people laughed that off for centuries. A rock, a worm that eats a rock, you know. They just discovered it. So as time goes on, more and more things that people believed in the Gemara, because it's Amos, are proven to non-believers now. There is a worm that eats rock, and he was called Shomir. We know it thousands of years ago. God, the Torah doesn't lie, but now even scoffers have to say, so it was true about the Shomir in the Chumash that cut the stones to size. So if you're not a mammon, you have to wait till science proves it. But if you're a mammon, you know it's true nevertheless, even without any proof, because you believe the Torah doesn't lie. Anyhow, so so that takes care of this whole section. Let's learn a little bit from the parasha. We just want to show you that you could be a guy doing a low profession, but one day your brain is open and you see the MS and you put your life in danger by lying to the king, because he could kill you in a second, to save the Jewish people. And because she did that mitzvah, her life was saved and the whole family. And, of course, she had no husband. She had just shows you. And some people, you can be born Jewish, but you really don't got it. And, there was Gilgulim that made Rochav, and Gilgulim that made the 12 spies. That's a Kabbalistic thing. It's an interesting life. Let's go back to the passion. Korach was Moshe's first cousin, because Moshe's father and Korach's father were brothers, so first cousin. And there were three families of Levi. Korach was from one of them, and there was two other families. One of the families carried the material. They put it on a truck, of course, but they hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of yards of material, probably weighs tons, and they folded it up, need a whole bunch of people to carry and put it on the wagons and through the desert. Then there was another group that carried the metal poles, which was all wood covered with metal, the building beams, and they put it on a wagon. Then there was a third group that didn't use wagons. They carried on their shoulder with poles the five articles in the Mishkan, the two Mizbeachs, the Aron, the Shulchan, and the Menorah. That was Korach's tribe. He carried on his shoulder between two people, whatever it was, a little Mizbeach, the big Mizbeach, the Menorah, the Aron, the Shulchan. They actually did such holy work. They actually carried it, not on truck, cows pulling a wagon. And this man, Korach, was one of them. And he became so rotten. And he said, look what he said. Yikach Korach. Doesn't say, you notice it's one of the few sedges that doesn't start out. V'yadabashem v'moshe lemor. Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'amato lem. It just starts out, Yikach Korach. Because God doesn't want to start out, it's an embarrassment for the Jewish people and for the tribe of Levi, which is Moshe and Aaron's tribe. Yikach Korach, Korach took Ben Yitzhar, the son of Yitzhar, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi, and Moshe is also a Levi from another father, the Dosan Aviran, two Roshoyim, Dosan Aviran that came from the tribe of Reuven, Bnei Eliyav, the children of Eliyav, Ba'on and another man owned Ben Perez, simple guy, a naive person, Zom Ben Pelet, the children of Reuven. From Yakuma, they got up. Lifnei, motion, fun of motion, means a showdown, they want to complain against the situation. Kumate Moshe, Vanoshim Bibnei Yisrael, and other gentlemen of Israel, 250. The CA Ado, the princes of the tribes, again, Kurue Moi, people called upon them. Anshe Shem, men of renown. You see, the bigger you are, the harder you fall. You see that? Vikalo Al Moshe, not El Tord. Al, they wanted to get rid of Moshe. They gathered against Moshe. This is a revolution, a mutiny. Well, Aaron against Aaron. Moshe was like the king. Aaron was the kongodon. Vyoma Lane, they said to him, Rav Lechem, you got too much. You're the king, your brother's the kongodon, and one of the nephews runs the whole Shevet Levi. Hey, you got too much covet. Rav Lechem, you have too much. All the nation is holy. Didn't we hear all God's voice? V'sochem Hashem, and God lives amongst us. Madua, why? Tisnasi, do you exalt yourself? Alcohol yourself over the Jewish people. As if Moshe took the job, you usurped it. Moshe fought with Hashem for 7 days. He doesn't want this job. But if your mind is twisted, you don't see the truth. Why do you lord over the Jewish people? We're all, which means we don't need kings. Now, Yishma Moshe, he heard this very well. V'yipol al ponav, he fell on his face. Not that he's ashamed or afraid. Oh, he knew they're going to get it. And he's so sorry for them. These pathetic people, they don't know what they're doing. But Korach caused the death of 15,000 people. Moshe saw this right up front, what's going to be. That's why he fell on his face. Yedaber el Korach, and he spoke to Korach. They'll call it all the 250. Boker in the morning. Not Ba Boker in the morning. Boker, the first second of morning, before sunrise at dawn. V'yeid Hashem, God will let you know, Es HaShiloh, which one he wants, who is the leader, Es HaKodesh, and the holy man, the priest, HaKohen, HaHikriv, Elov, and he wants those two people to come to him, V'yeid Asher Yivchar Bo, and everyone that he chooses, Yaakov Elov, will get close to him. Zosa said, this is what you should do. I'm telling you what to do. K'chudach HaMachtos, take skillets, flat skillets, Korach, you Korach, and Chodos, all your whole group of 250, Snuba had age, put a fire in there. It means hot, cold, red hot. You see, Molem can sprinkle the spices over them. Lefnei Hashem, in front of God, means go into the Holy of Holies. And Korach, brilliant man, fell for this trap. Because Moshe never thought that he would ever fall for this, and he would back out. So, Lefnei Hashem, Mocher tomorrow. Behoy you ha'ish, and that man, Asher, Yivcha Hashem, the God will choose. Who I call this? He's the holy guy. Which means all the 249 will die. See how wicked he is? 250 people. Only one man's going to be the Kongodl. Either Dawson, or maybe him, or Yekorach, and Dawson of you can't because they're not from Levi, they're from Reuven. Well, Rav Lechem B'nei, hey, you tell me that we have too much COVID. Rav Lechem B'nei Levi. Hey, Levi, guys, you have enough already. You're the special servants of God. You're the holiest tribe of all the 12. We come from Levi, and you're biting off more than you can handle. V'yomer Moshe el Korach, and they didn't answer Korach because they were hearing truth. V'yomer Moshe el Korach, Shimono, please listen to me, B'nai Levi. He means one man, but he didn't want to insult him. You children of Levi, which means what I just told you, or it means, hey, Levi, tribe, why don't you take care of this troublemaker? Hey, you're the tribe where I come from. You're the only people that didn't get involved in the Egil and all the other terrible things. Why don't you handle this internal problem, B'nai Levi? Why do you have to let it burst out like this? Shimon B'nai Levi, listen to me, some Levi, and Korach and Moshe in the same tribe. Hama'at, is it a little thing? So the God of Israel has separated you, made you different than everybody else. Everybody gives you 10%. Meiser, and you work in the base of Mikdash. And you don't have no lamb because you don't need it because the people give you 10% of the animals and their food. God of Israel has separated you, Eschem, Me'adasius, from the rest of the people. The Hakav is going to get very close to him. And no one else goes into Mishkan except the Levi. La'avod, the voters, and to serve the service of the God tabernacle. La'avod, the Eden, to stand in front of the people and serve them. They short of some. And you want more? The Yaakov, and he made you come close. He drew you near, all the brothers, the people of Levi, B'nai Levi, he talked with you. You also want to be the Kohen? And you know there's only one. So tomorrow, 249 people are going to die out of the 250. Okay, therefore.
Didn't they learn? What's his name? Moshe's brother.
Aaron.
And Aaron's sons went into the Holy of Holies,
yeah,
they
got, and they died. Yeah, two more. They didn't learn that. What the two of them called?
I know.
Also meant well. It was, they thought it was Yom Kippur, but it was the day that the Shekhinah came back into the tent. They got so moved they couldn't help themselves. They wanted to get this full dose, and they went into cognitive dissonance, and they died on the spot. But they meant well. But they made.
That's right, and that's what I'm saying is they should have learned from that experience.
Oh, very good. Okay, that's one of the questions they ask. The Kashrim Kahuna, you also want to be a highest type of lady called the Kohen? Okay, therefore, you and your whole bunch group, and who are against God. You're not against me and Aaron. You're against God. You don't like the system he sent us. No one, Aaron never took the job by force. I've argued with Hashem for 7 days. I don't want this. What do you think? We usurped this? Oh, you're against God. You know that? But Aaron, Mahu, what is he? Kisaluno, I love you. You complain against him. And Moshe called the dozen of you to have a conversation with them. You know, the two troublemakers, because they don't come from Levi. They'll never be anything anyhow because they come from Revut Ruvain. So they're just plain troublemakers. They hate Moshe anyhow.
I thought they come from Erev Rav.
No, they're not. The Erev Rav is going. This is dozen of them. They come legitimate sons of Reuven. But they're not from Levi. They'll never be a Kohen Melech. They won't be like Moshe. They won't be a Kohen Gadol. So what do you want? Get out of this. They'll lose anyhow.
But you also have to understand that Reuven lost his birthright to Judah.
Right.
So therefore, they were seeing it and saying that, we lost to Judah and you're losing to Moshe and Aaron.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's why Korach was able to conscript him.
Yeah, because they're not too clever. Obviously, hey, hello, you're not Korach. If he wins, well, maybe he'll be, because he comes from Levi. Hey, buddy, you're not even from Levi, so you're not going to be anything anyhow. Why are you getting involved in it? Because I hate emotion, basically. Okay. Like the Democrats, they don't really lean against the wall. But Trump advocates it. That's why they don't want it, because they hate him. You guys who are ganging up against Hashem. What is he? They called Dozan and Aviram. And they said, come on up. I want to discuss this. They said, Lo Nala, we're not coming up. They didn't want to have a hearing. Is it a little thing? You took us out of the land that flows with milk and honey, you imagine? Lachmi said, kill us by midway in the desert. Keep this Torah. You want to be a dominate us like a dictator? Now look at that word, Torah. That's the longest, the most, greatest Gematria word in all the 24 books of Tanakh. It has the last three letters of the Torah. Tuf, Shin, Tuf, Resh, Resh. Tuf, 400, 300, is 7, and 400 is 11, and 200 is 12, 13, and 200 is 1,500. That these rotten people get some kind of a zechus to have the word that is the longest Gematria word in the Torah. So as a side thing, I have to tell you, there is another word equal with 15. So they should not have the longest, the biggest Gematria. There's another word, God's name, Yud K Vav K. If you multiply 10 times 5 times times 6 times 5, you also get 1,500. So they should not be the one to get the biggest Gematria word in all of Tanakh. 407, 300, 400, 200, 200. So even God's name, if you multiply the 6 times the 5 times the 10 times the 5 times the 6, how's it go? Yud-K is 10 times 5 times 6 times 5. You get 1,500. 10 times 5 times 6 times 5. Yeah, you get also, which means, okay, there's a word that has God's name is said they should not have the longest Gematria because they were such rotten people, but it's just an interesting side thing. If you don't have Gematria, then you don't appreciate this. However, so when they said we're not going up, the Talmud says you're right, you're going down in a hole. They didn't know what they were saying, but that's exactly right, they're not going up. But we're not coming up to your meeting. Shani, Pesach 14. However, lower Zavas of Hush. How you say, you didn't bring us to the land of the flows of milk and honey. Hello, isn't that why we got out of Egypt? You're a failed leader. And you didn't give us inheritance of fields and vineyards. You know, hello, that's why we left Egypt. You couldn't pull it off, mister. You want to blind these people? That means our eyes. You think we're naive? You want to blind us? Lord Nala, we're not going up. So twice they said it. They're not going up means they're never getting out of Gehenna, even when their crime has been paid. Lo Nala twice. This hurt Moshe very much. Not that they, that their pathetic Jews are never going to make it. And this distressed Moshe greatly. Not for Moshe. Moshe knew he was the greatest son. You pathetic person, you doomed yourself. I'll pay for them. Don't, please ignore what he said. Don't take it serious. Don't look at their, don't turn to their carbon. These 250 people had a skillet, and in it they put some carbon, some kind of omelet or something. Don't accept their skillet, their gift. Do not turn their gift offering. I have not taken it. I never in my life borrowed a donkey from any one of them. I never borrowed or never took. I never insulted or wronged any person in my life. You're going to be before God. There'll be a showdown tomorrow. Ato, you, the Haim, and them, and Aaron tomorrow. Take your pan. Put Ketores over that hot, looks like fire, red coal, hot coal. We craft new sham, bring it in front of God, like a coin does once a year in the Kodesh Kedoshim. The Ish Machtos, everyone with one pan, Chamish Masayim, 250 pans, Machtos, Atavah, and you and Aaron, you're both of you, you're Machtos, your skillet. Yikro Ish Machtos, Avidno Aleim Eish, to put hot coals on it, fire, to put on them Ketores, incense, spices, Yam de Pesach Omoid, to sit in front of Pesach Omoid, and Moshe Nahar also. Yikro Aleim Korach, now guess this was the next morning, by Yikro Aleim Moshe, gather them together as Kolo Eid, the whole community, the whole bare Jewish people. El Pesach Ol Moed, the doorway of the Ol Moed, the year Kvod Hashem El Kolo Eid. God's presence appeared to everybody. They were, at this moment, they were speechless. The Yadavar Shem El Moshe of Alam. In front of them, God spoke to Moshe and Aaron. He Bodlu, separate, Mitoch Eid. Means this is the next morning. Now something's going to happen. He Bodlu, like the word Havdalah, separate. He Bodlu, separate, Mitoch Eid. This rotten community, Eidah, means Eidah is 10 people is called already a community. That's how you know that at Eidah, 10 is a community. Matocha Eidah Zos, Vachalos and Grant, I'm going to wipe them out in a flash. I will eat them up in a second. You plop an ambush, you fell in the face of Yomer. El, God, Elohei, Haruch, the God who knows all human personalities, the Chol Bosa, you know every person. One man is a sinner. You're going to wipe out everybody. They got one guy. Get rid of him and it's over. One man. Yechida does a sin. And you're going to get angry at everybody. Come on. One guy. Get rid of him. Why you have to kill so many people? Okay. Instead of Hibodlo separating himself completely, hey, Ola, just move back a little. Masavib from a close. The Mishkan Korach, the Mishkan of Korach and Dozenbeer, these three instigators, Korach and Dozenbeer. Why you call it Mishkan? Only the Holy Temple was called Mishkan. Everyone else's the place is a tent. Oh hell! Why a Mishkan? It says that that Korach was so holy when he was decent, it was like the Mishkan. The Shekhinah was in his tent, shining at night. You could see a light over there. You see again how great people can mess up. When you're very, very, very great and you mess up, God removes from you common sense. God's speaking to you right now. Why don't you do tshuva? Where's your brains? Pharaoh was the king of Egypt, brilliant man. Don't you think he was an imbecile? And he went into the split sea after losing 10 times? Where is your common sense if you're such a king and brilliant man? That's the punishment for evil people who are very brilliant. He makes them imbeciles, like imbeciles. Takes away your common sense. If you have no common sense, you're an imbecile. Why do you go into a split river or a sea? Here, God's talking to them. Well, why don't you hear? Don't you get it? Get away from the Mishkan of Korach. Doesn't mean, means the greater you are, you could be very, very. It's like, the greater you are, the harder you fall. When you're on top of the mountain and you slip, you kill yourself. But if you go 50 feet up and you slip, you don't hurt yourself. If you, like a tuxedo, only one little black mark on the lapel. I know, that means worthless. when you're very pure and you have one flaw, that could kill you. Moshe, they didn't want to come up and talk to him, so Moshe lowered himself not to have a tragedy happen, not to have a machlokas, a fight, and he went to them. And he had to go to the tent of these two shoyim. And of course, the people went down with him, the whole Sanhedrin, everybody was watching. Lemo, Suru. Oh, the first one was Hibadlu. The second one was Heolu. And that was Suru. Each three different ways how to keep away from Rishoyim. We'll talk about that in a minute. No, please get away, Ma'ala, oh, hello, from the tent of Anoshim HaRoshoyim. These wicked men. Don't touch anything that they have. Anything you own now in your pen, in your potty, pocket, in your house, don't touch anything that belongs to these people. Pen to suffer, unless you're going to be killed with them. Yalu, Me'al, Mishkan, Korach. Moshe went up, away from, moved away from the Mishkan, the tent of Korach, and doesn't have here. He suffered all around and moved back. But doesn't have here, he also stood suffering. Doesn't came out of their tent, upright, proud, Pesachalim, in front of their tents. With big noses stuck up in there, you know what I mean? Arrogant. When the Sheyim and their children went along with their father, Benayim, the sons of the top of little infants, never they happened to die because the parents were rotten. The Yom Moshe and Zosha, then this is how you're going to know. Ki Hashem Shlachani, that God sent me, not me, He sent me. Now, so this is called a mighty man to do all these things since you know me for the last year or two in Egypt. Ki Lo Milibi, it never came from my heart. Im Kamos called Adam Yemus Adam, he said, spoke to all the people. If these guys die the regular death, Bakudas called Adam and the thing that comes to most people, you poke will come to them. Lo Hashem, God didn't send me. I'm a fraud. But in Bria Yibarsham, God creates a new creation, never was before. Putzla Adamas will be under. Adama opens his mouth. That doesn't mean the ground. That's the caverns under the ground. The top is still closed. S.P.O., the Adama, the way the caverns below form a cavern, open. S.P.O., Umbola and swallows them. Osom them. It's called Ashilohem. The top was still earth covering the caverns. And swallows them, it's called Ashilohem. V'yerdu Chaim, they're the only people who are going to die alive. V'yerdu Chaim, they're going to go alive into Sheolah, the grave. Then you'll know. Kiniyasi Anoshim Le'edoskim. These people mocked God. The moment he finished talking, it's called Advar made all these words. But the book of Adamo, oh, the Oreds, the other one, Adamo, the ground opened up and shared Tachtim under them. The Tiptach Oreds, the first was Adamo, that's the caverns. They made it, it was a big cavern. And then the top, which a few hundred feet called Oreds, it opened his mouth and now they slipped into the hole. But Tivla and Swala, Osam, Vespoteim, their families, their livestock, their furniture. It's called Adam and all the people, Asher, the Korach, the belongs to Korach. It's called the Rechush and all their wealth. Now, Korach was the richest Jew because Pharaoh made him, gave him a lot of money to pick out the toughest, strongest Jews to do the work. So they were very rich. The Yerudahim, they went down, the Chola Shalem, everything that belonged to him, Chayim Shaola, alive in the grave, not dead. No human being ever died alive. But the Chasalem's orders and the earth, the top layer, closed over them. They were disappeared from the community. Some all the Jews around them, they ran Lakotlam because the sound was coming out of the ground. So Rashi doesn't bring it. But you know what the Gemara says? The sound was like this. Moshe Emes, V'Torosa Emes, V'Anochnu Badoim. Moshe is true, his Torah is true, and we are liars. They heard that. The people ran. They thought maybe the it's going to open up like the when the avalanche, maybe, not avalanche, an earthquake is going to spread and gather the people that didn't do what Korach did. But they agreed with him in their heart. Maybe they're going to get it too. They started running. He called you Sashim, Russell ran. The Kolum, not because of the voice, not because of the, some say not because of the earthquake. They didn't, the voice was so loud. Moshe Emes, Toros Emes, Vonim Adoy, we are liars, Moshe is right. So Amru Panty Valemes, maybe we're going to get swallowed up too, okay. And a fire came out of that spot. And ate up the 25 people who didn't go into the ground. Only Korach, Dothan, Aviram. Each one had wives, had six people right there. Each had three or four kids, maybe 35, 40 people. It says they had their children there, grandchildren, maybe 40, 50 people. And the 250 were not, they didn't get swallowed. They, that second, they were holding skillets, and that fire in the coal went into their nose and burnt out their inside. Not their body was not touched. They were not sinners with their body, like doing zinus or eating trade for Machal Shabbos. They didn't do physical sin. They did a neshama thing. They didn't. They burned out their lungs. They didn't burn, and the internals, not physical. They're not sinners. They didn't violate the Torah. They didn't believe in God. And their neshama, which no one sees, that part was burnt. The Yeshus and the fire went out, Meis Hashem, miraculous fire, but it came from the cold, went into everybody's nostrils. No part of the outside body was hurt. It, and Tocha and ate up the 250 people, Mikrive Hakto, who brought the Ketores. Yitavashom Moshe Lehmo, Emuel Al Lazar, Ben Aaron, say to Lazar, Aaron's son, Hakoin, Vayorim is Mark, pick up those pans. We begged us amongst the dead, burnt up people. That's the Aish. And the fire, the coals, just throw it away on the side. Get rid of it. We want those pans. Kikodeshu, these fire pans, skillets are holy now. They meant, really, that God should pick the right one. They were a bit naive. They were talked to into it by Korach, who was very energetic, charming, very charismatic. And he fooled these people. It's machtos, achatos, and the skillets. Of these sinners, who sinned with their nefesh, not with their body. They thought they're doing the right thing because they listened to a misleader. Also, some decree about them. Bang them down to flat copper sheets, sepoy them there, and make it a coating for the copper mizbeach. Put another layer of copper over the copper mizbeach. They really meant the right thing, but they were misled. And these pans will now be sanctified. And why can you use an instrument that was used to show that Moshe is not true, which means God never spoke to him? How can you use the instrument that was used for type of avodah zarah? Because once you bang it and melt it, it changes, it loses its original skillet form and becomes a sheet of copper. You can use an avodah zarah, a piece made of something, any idol, if you melt it down into gold, whatever, and form it into a new keli, it loses its original intention. So they melted it down, they milled the copper into sheets around them as well. Mikdoshim, Hilaos, it's be a sign to the Jewish people forever. Don't buck the system. That they brought, that were burnt, the burnt ones brought. Yerakum, they beat them down, sepul them there, coated with copper sheets. Zichur Levanesa, a memory. A man who's not a Kohen should never try to assume the position of Kohen. Don't come too close. Ish Zor, that's not a stranger, means he's not from Levi. Or he's not a Kohen. And the Kohen's a type of Levi. You're not from Aaron's children. You're not going to be a Kohen, regardless how great you are. Moshe is not Aaron's child. He'll never be a Kohen, Moshe. Only Aaron can bring the Ketores. And don't be like Korach and his community. Like God told Hashem, Yad Moshe lo to him. Now, next day they were complaining. Hey, Moshe, you killed off people. You misled naive people. Why don't you tell them? Yilonu koledas. Oh, it's at night, 11:30. We'll go to Ravid. One, two more pasukim. By Yilonu, after the night, Lailo, Lel. By after the night, by they. The Jewish assembly of the children of Israel complained. Yilonu Moshe. Next day, Al Moshe Balaam Nehmo. Atamid, you killed off the Jewish people last night. Yesterday afternoon. You killed them. 3 and 250? So they said, we understand Korach and Dothan Aviram. You killed them. There's 250 naive people. Why did you mislead them? You could go into Kodesh Kodesh. They're not Kohanim. It's not Yom Kippur. That's what the Kohen does once a year. Why did you mislead them? So the Gemara says they were the head of the Sanhedrin. They know everything. They're not ignoramuses. They did it intentionally. Lemor, Atem, Hematem, you killed off the Jewish people. Hebak, Hikoel, Al-Edo, Al-Moshe, when they ganged up against Moshe. The next day, after this, people holding the ground open. They're still not convinced. Some people. They saw the building was covered by unknown. And the hand of God again appeared. The people were paralyzed. They couldn't touch Moshe. You know, they were stuck. The other Moshe, right up, and he came inside because they were going to kill him. We're at Revi. You can read the rest yourself, but you see how dynamic this is? These people, doesn't have him. They would live today, would be the biggest Gedolei Yisrael. They were Moshe's Talmidim. They heard God's voice. What do you think? They're ignoramuses like us. They were so great. That's why they were so evil. Dynamite is so powerful, but it could destroy too. It could help you. The bigger you are, the harder you fall. The most expensive diamond, one flaw. Let's say it's flawless. It's worth, $2 carat, $3 carat, $100 million. Now it's worth nothing, $10,000. It's garbage. The bigger you are, the smallest flaw shows how great you are. That proves your inner worth is nothing. Because you see the ground. When Moshe was speaking to him, the Medrash says the ground was shaking. Hey, Korach, my cousin, dear friend, you have a chance to say I'm sorry and walk away. Where is your brain? He says, no, I'm convinced I'm right. Like Avraham Avinu was thrown in the Kibbutz Lach because he's convinced he's right. And he lived. Can you imagine? Where's your common sense? Avraham Avinu didn't buck Hashem. Where's your brains? And then as soon as they died, there was this sound came out of the ground. Moshe Emes, the Torosa Emes. We are liars because in the Olam HaEmes, you can't tell lies over there. You can't tell lies because it's impossible. Because the Olam HaEmes, you have to tell the truth. But it's too late. You blew it. What a dynamic parsha. Korach talked Lashon Hara. Miriam talked Lashon Hara. The Meraglim talked Lashon Hara. Interesting, right? How this terrible thing of the wrong word to somebody, the way you talk, can doom you. Lashon Hara is the worst thing. He replies every day in our life, don't say bad things. Even a Sefer Torah that's not kosher, say it's puzzled, they say it's not kosher. Or a Torah scholar who loses his mind when he gets older, they say he's not like he used to be. Or if a person is they have it in America now, this politically correct. A certain percent of that is a good thing. They call a woman no more a housewife, a domestic engineer, a garbage man, a sanitation engineer. A person is not, instead of a fat slob, they say he's a little bit obese. That's not bad to talk in respectful language. These people, you don't want. Well, it's pretty blunt here in the Torah. They went into the ground. They called them Rishoyim. Get away from these Rishoyim. But they were great. They could have been great people. They had potential. Like dynamite has potential to help you to drill a hole through a mountain so you won't have to go 2.5 hours around the mountain. You can do it in 15 minutes. So it's good or it's bad. Depends how you use it. Okay, Rabbi, say any questions?
I think the fire was accepted.
And what accepted? What do you mean?
It says
the fire they threw out, they said throw it out in the garbage there, but the fire pans were accepted. They accepted the fire pans, which means a warning, nobody should try to become a coin when you're not one. Which means these people paid with their lives. They weren't the instigators like Korach and Dothan Aviram. They were naive followers. Ah, naive, you're the head of Rosh Hashanah. That's why you're naive, because you followed, you listened to a charming swindler, liar, deceiver, because you're not clever enough to have common sense. And in life we have it today. You see the whole advertising is like that and all what you hear in the paper and what you read and see on the radio.
Off. Thank you, Rabbi. I'm going to sign off.
Okay, you're going to sleep. Okay, very good. Anybody else want to ask any questions or you want to go to sleep? It's pretty late. Okay, everybody have a wonderful week, and we'll continue on Tuesday.
Thank you.
Good night, Rabbi.
Good night, everybody, for listening.
So, okay, and Rosh Chodesh is...
Oh, Rosh Chodesh is on Wednesday and Thursday.
It's Wednesday and Thursday.
Right.
So Tuesday night's Rosh Chodesh.
Right. And, this is the longest week of the year, if you live in the Northern Hemisphere. The longest week, if 10 days of latest sunset, is going to change about Wednesday. 10 days up to Wednesday was 10 days where it was every day exact same up here in New York at 8:32 was sunset. But wherever it is in the world, it's the longest day. And down there below the equator, it's the shortest day. All right, because they have winter when we have summer. But this is the winter solstice a few days ago, June 22nd. That lasts for about 10 days. Now, this week, Wednesday, it's going to be the end of 10 days. The 8:33 is going to be 8:32 and 8:31 and 8:30. So, you know, we're going back the other way already.
All right.
Stay well, everybody. Have a good night, and we'll see you on Tuesday night. Amir Hashem.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye. See you.
Bye.